Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, let the title of this thing. Don't title again. I'm Daddy Lonely, the Eledumare.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Hey. Good afternoon. Well, that's my time anyway. God, it's a beautiful day. Here I am sitting in the road track. Well, what else can I do? I mean, you don't just sit in the sunshine. I guess I could have gone down to the beach, but I know there'd be no parking, even the handicap spots. It will be full. So, no, I'm just going to stick close to home. It's Sunday, as I say, around 3 o'clock. And it's Pride weekend, so I don't know what that's going to mean by the time you get this podcast. Of course, that'll be gone, so happy Pride to you. Wednesday is Canada Day, July 1st, and then on the weekend, Saturday, is July 4th, the American celebration. So what do? You say these things. It's like happy birthday. You say it. But do you feel anything, or you just say it because, you know, it's a notable date? What do you want? You know, and if it was a good thing you wanted, why wouldn't you want that every day? Like, why would I wish my American friends happy national holiday? Really, what you want to wish your American friends is, God, I hope things get better for you. I hope you get rid of that president in November or whenever the turnover is. And that you start doing a better job dealing with COVID-19, and that, oh my God, you start educating people at an earlier age, and you don't let, you know, fundamentalist Christians hijack the agenda for politics and education. And oh my God, it feels hopeless. I was watching on CNN last night, 1968. And, of course, I remember that time very well. We all talk about 67, the summer of love, the hippies, peace, you know, stick a flower in the rifle butt. But meanwhile, this war is going on. And the documentaries that CNN does when they go back in time, they're interesting to look at because, of course, they've got all this video from the time, those images that stick out from the Vietnam War. And, oh, my God, how awful. And then you think, okay, well, wait a minute. Let's say 1970, 50 years, more than 50 years ago. And although there's not a war there, Vietnam, my God, you've had Afghanistan, you've had Iraq, you've got so many things going on. Are things any better? Or is it just the nature of the beast that America will always be a country at war with itself and with people who don't buy into the capitalist model? And, God, I remember this happened years ago when it was, I put out a podcast trying to celebrate the two holidays, and all I did was shit on America. And it sounds like I'm heading that direction again, and it's not the American people. Well, yeah, maybe it is half of them. But there are some nice Americans out there. You can say that, right? That's safe to say that. Speaking of safe to say that, I'm going to stick in a little rant by, what's his name, Bill Maher, after this clip, or after the song, whatever. I wish I could have put things that way. The episode that I didn't put out, and by the way, if you do want to hear it, just send an email to Dixon James, DICKSNJANES at gmail.com, or reach me however you know how to reach me directly, and I will send you back the secret link so that you can hear it. But basically what Bill Maher was saying in the clip you're going to hear was the message I kind of wanted to get out. In other words, it's just there's so much pressure to get things right that people become very nervous and second-guessing and you know, afraid to put out the wrong message. And that's not a healthy state of affairs for anybody. That doesn't lead to good communication. But things were tense, and I admit I got sucked into it and felt the tension and the discomfort. And got defensive and so on. Anyway, park that. I've just listened. I spent this morning, it's Sunday, and we have these church services. Now, there was a church service at my church, West Hill United, online, on Zoom, that featured a speaker who left Islam. And I really wanted to watch that, listen to that. I hope it's recorded and I can go back to it. Because at the same time, from the Oasis Network in Toronto, which Greta, our minister, helped form, the speaker was Dave Warnock. Now, I've mentioned him. I'm wearing the Dying Out Loud t-shirt. Dave Warnock is the ex-minister who left evangelistic Christianity and left it hard. Like, wow, what a load of shit. This is cruel to children. And then later on got diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. And so is spending his remaining years, we hope, doing things and talking to people and talking about being an atheist and what to make of your life, given that heaven is not there waiting for you, as he used to believe. So that was great. And so I cheered him on and reintroduced myself because I met him. He was the man who brought me to tears when I met him at West Hill United back in November of 2019. And he was so sincere, and I walked up to shake his hand. I just looked at him, and tears ran down my eyes. Yeah, I was just so moved by the his courage in dealing with this death sentence. And it is a nasty way to go. But also just his sincerity about, hey, you know, this message is wrong. You got a life to live. Live it now and live it to its fullest. This is not a dress rehearsal. He did give a quote, which I copied down as best I could. It might not be accurate. It's by Marie Angelou. And it was, and it fits with the Bill Maher thing I'm going to play later. Do the best you can do until you can do better. When you can do better, do better. Now, there may have been a fancier way of phrasing that. I don't know. But that's really nice. And it allows for forgiveness. Just do the best you can do, and you're going to fuck up. And that kind of was his message. Hey, the reason he believed in Noah's Ark and all the other stuff was because he was just brought up in this deeply fundamentalist belief system. And now he looks back and he's embarrassed about it. But what he said was, I did the best I could do at that time, and now that I've grown out of that, I'm trying to do better in different ways. So, that was good.
And finally, new rule, black people have to demand that white people stop culturally appropriating how mad they are about racism. It's great that Caucasians have finally joined the fight for racial justice in unprecedented numbers, but hating racism the most? You can't steal that. Elvis taking Little Richard's act, that was bad enough. Victor Sengby is an Oakland resident who put up small loops for footholds on trees in a local park for exercise and games. He says,
out of the dozens and hundreds and thousands of people that have walked by, no one, you know, has thought that it looked anywhere close to a noose.
But Oakland's mayor, Libby Schaaf, wasn't going to let all that cheat her out of a chance to signal her virtue. She said, these incidents will be investigated as a hate crime. Why is this white woman seeing racism where a black man isn't? The mayor also said, intentions don't matter. But they do matter. And white people need to stop trying to cancel other white people whose heart is in the right place, but don't get it exactly right on the first try. A few weeks ago, when everyone was posting a black square on Instagram, BuzzFeed wrote, influencers, it's a privilege to post a black square and then go back to your usual content. As opposed to what? Abandoning your life and just posting a black square every day? People got called out for not posting the square, then for just posting it without speaking out, and then for posting it and speaking out, but not voicing their support in the exact way that was said in the new Dakota Ring. They were helping wrong. Ellen DeGeneres felt enough pressure so that she erased a tweet that said, "People of color in this country have faced injustice for far too long." Okay, that may not be exactly Black Lives Matter, but it's also very true and pretty close to what we're trying to get everyone to understand. Liberalism should be about lifting people up, and you don't do that by slapping down people who are trying to say, "I'm on your side." No wonder white people right now are acting like a nervous waiter on their first day. So scared of making a mistake, they put a fork in your iced tea and a straw in your salad. We don't want to chant the wrong chant or hold the wrong sign. Hey, please, it's all we can do to clap on the right beat. You want to be a good ally, but not too good, or you're being a white savior. Use your voice, but don't make it about yourself. But speak up, unless it's your time to just listen. And then silence is violence. Even though sometimes silence just means someone works two jobs and has three kids. They have baby food on their shirt, not hate in their heart. Some guy just wrote into the New York Post, "I am a senior-level leader in an organization and feel compelled to speak up about racial injustice, but I'm afraid to. As a white man, I'm afraid that I will say something that will be misinterpreted, and I will do more harm than good for my career, too. Staying silent seems wrong, but safer. Am I alone in this?" Unfortunately, no. There was a sports announcer in Sacramento who tweeted, "All lives matter," and immediately got fired, even though he apologized and said he just didn't understand. What he said came from a place of ignorance, not racism. That difference is important. Someone could have just explained to him why there's a deservedly special reason we single out black lives for protection. But now, instead of a possible ally, we create a bitter, unemployed person. Willow Smith, yes, Willow Smith, said, "I'm seeing people shaming others for what they are choosing to say or shaming people for not saying anything at all. I feel like if we really want change, shaming doesn't lead to learning." She gets it. Surely people twice her age could make the effort. I worry that the kind of tension that the guardians of Gotcha are creating is going to make people afraid to mingle at all and thrust us back towards a resegregation of sorts, where instead of just seeing a person and not a color, now we're only seeing color. Maybe this is old school liberalism talking, but I don't think that's the way to go. Let's hang out. And if I fuck up, tell me why, not goodbye. It's a gradual, years-long process, like Trump descending a ramp. But things are better when the races get together, like when rappers sample Steely Dan.
It is Monday, June 30th. God, those dates reminds me of school. We always finished in Quebec. We finished in June, late June. Final exams, clearing out your desk, and getting reports and stuff. Back in the days when boys had to wear shirts and ties, usually it started off as a white shirt, then we got into color and stripes and things. The girls wore white blouses and tunics, and they didn't think they were very sexy. I think we thought they were quite sexy, especially when the skirts were shortened. And anyway, my God, down that memory lane. High school, it was just, to me, it was all about survival. You just got to get through. You don't want to be beaten up after school. And there was always threats. Somehow, I guess I was in with the, I don't know, wimps was the right word, losers. I don't know, I made a lot of good friends who I still have today. And these are people who've done well in life, so they couldn't have all been losers. And I guess it changed from my younger years, grade 8 and 9, to 10 and 11, I think. But I guess I got through okay. I was lazy. But I, you know, it was just that. Get through it. Get through it. So I wasn't even going to talk about that, but here we are. I wanted to keep this one short because at 11 o'clock I've got to call SoftMock in Scarborough Town Center to see if they're open for business. And if so, I'll take back my the Crocs that my wife bought me for Father's Day and return the size 13 and try and get a size 12. And what I really want to do is get my money back and then, now that there's a Canada Day sale, buy a replacement pair at a cheaper price. But we'll see how that goes down. Yeah. It's a beautiful day, and I have to do some work on the deck today. I'm going to share a little story here. I feel really like I'm making compromises maybe I shouldn't be about privacy in the family. When I talk about my wife, you know, I don't talk about her that often. If I do, it's usually the good things, of course. How she spoils us, like last night's supper, which my son and I enjoyed so much. And I remind my son how lucky we are for her doing so many good things for us. Yeah. Now, because of this foot, which is, by the way, I'm going to see my family doctor tomorrow to see if maybe he can drain the knee or at least look at it. I don't think he'd be able to do much, but if he can recognize that there's fluid buildup and drain like the an intern or resident doctor did last time I was there several months ago, that would be a big help. He might not want to, especially because I'm going to be seeing the knee surgeon in 2 weeks, so we'll see how that goes. But it's just limiting what I can do. I don't even want to walk now, and that's not good. And it's making me feel more and more useless around the house. So my wife, in her Japanese manner, and I guess in her the way she was brought up, you just do something, you do it well, and you do it quickly. And I'm sort of the opposite. Well, do it best you can, sort of. And if you don't feel like it, don't do it. And that's a real clash in outlooks. Now, as far as staining the deck goes, it's been a few weeks now. I mean, we're 2 years behind to start with. Okay, 2 years ago this should have been done, and then last year it didn't get done. And now that I don't have my summer tours an excuse, I'm getting it done. And I felt enjoyment about it because I've got this open space of time. As long as it's done this summer, it's done. So I did the bench, I did the top railing. We had the cans with the stain around. We bought them 2 years ago. We've got rollers, we've got everything we need. But I just kind of brought up the rollers, and that was a day's work. You know, I'd get them up from the garage and find the brushes in the basement and just sort of sit them there for a while. And she's just tired of looking at them and says, look, I could do it, you know. And she could do it quickly. And I'm insisting, no, this is the only thing I can do. And the parts I can't do, I'm going to get my son to do. But I want to have some satisfaction of saying I did something this summer. That's important to me. But to her, it's just a nuisance. They're in the way. So last night she carried the cans out from the dining room onto the deck, and I'm squawking away. Let me do it. Oh, my God. I mean, it ended well. It ended fine. You know, there was no blows exchanged, no screaming, but there are definitely differences of opinion about the pace of the work that needs to be done. So, this week I got to be at it. It's not so difficult. It's just, I am lazy. I mean, back in high school, my quote in my yearbook, which was given to me by the mother of my girlfriend at the time, I didn't know what to put, so I asked my girlfriend at the time, what should I put? And her mother said, well, here's one. Avoiding labor is an art. In this, his genius shines. And I, oh, yeah, I like that. So this is, you know, 16, 17 years old. I'm already pegged, yeah, and my family knew it. My brother worked hard and did things my sister did, and I would just begrudge having to put out the garbage or any of my chores, you know. Ugh. So it's inborn, but it's just I find other things to do, like the satisfaction I had yesterday sitting in the recliner reading Foundation by Asimov, the first book in the series, which I have to go out and buy all the others, but I will only buy them from used bookshops, so that'll be fun. You know, that kind of thing excites me. Hey, yeah, I've got three bookstores in mind that I can go to and search. And if I find, oh, here's the second one, or even the third one, great, now I just got to get the second. You know, this is a thrill. This is a hunt. Things like that give me far more satisfaction than, you know, jobs around the house. Fix the latch on the sliding door, which has a screw loose for 10 years. It's okay. It still opens, still closes. Just doesn't get around to it. It's like you heard, if you listen to regular listeners, the story of the doorknob that just wasn't fixed. My wife finally fixed it, and I had to. John Meadows had to step in, and I passed the doorknobs on to him, and he fixed them and made a beautiful hunko, a stamp out of it. So I still have those. I rescued them from the garbage that my wife insisted they go out in. So there are differences, but we're still together. We're still here. So anyway, I was going to build up of the friction, but now it's just all kind of humorous to me. No harm done. But it is a difference. It is like, in all sincerity, I understand my wife's, hey, there's a job to do. You do it. And you do it now. You don't keep putting it off. And I understand how difficult it is for her to understand my way. It was, if I see open space in front of me, if I see there's no deadline, if I see I have the stuff, I just have to do it, but maybe not today, maybe tomorrow, that would be okay. It makes me feel good. I'm free. I have freedom. Freedom to choose when to do it, not being forced to do something. And it's this hardwired rebellion in me, a push back at anything I'm told to do. And hence some of the rebellion on social media about how you should feel, what you must do in bold letters very often, or all caps. Right? So this pushback, hey, it's not out of character. It's not about this thing in particular. It's about every fucking thing you throw in my face. Ooh, wow. That sounded resentful. Phew. Okay, so let's just park that there. It's almost time to call the shop and say, are you open today? Because if so, I'm going to return a pair of Crocs and get new ones, which is very, very nice of my wife. Again, one of the differences, I would never pay $50 for a pair of plastic shoes. She knows, my son knows, those are good shoes. They're going to last a long time. And they're very comfortable, as my friend Doug has attested to. So, hey, it's a gift. Why not? So there you go, Scarborough Dude. Another short clip. Just a little window into my life here in Scarborough. I guess overall, if I was to look back at this period of social isolation, of COVID-19 time, it's been a very comfortable time for me. I watched the ladies from Shanghai, Orson Welles' film, again last night, but now doing the research. You know, what is it about this film, you know? And gosh, the Caine Mutiny with Humphrey Bogart, and which again I've seen countless times, but the enjoyment I'm getting from watching cinema. Wow, what a nice way. So it doesn't feel like wasted time or waiting to do something else when this pandemic is over. By the way, an email regards to my study tour that I said I'm not going to be involved in. A little suggestion, if we come to Canada, for example, to Ottawa, could you meet us and maybe instruct the students for a day and you'll get paid for it? And I'm thinking, whoa, best possible scenario. None of the worries, none of the headaches, none of the anxiety, none of the planning, but to be paid for my time to just be with the students as a long-time connection and to keep that connection alive with the school, because connections and loyalty and friendships are very important in Japan. So that sounds like the best possible scenario. So stay tuned for 2021. Scarborough Dude, signing out. We'll give you a chicken instead of a bell. Where's the chicken? Come on. There we go. There you go. Bye for now.
Baby, do you understand me now? Sometimes I feel a little mad. But don't you know that no one alive can always be an angel? When things go wrong, I seem to be bad. But I'm just a soul. Baby, sometimes I'm so carefree with a joy that's hard to hide. And sometimes it seems that all I have to do is worry, and then you're bound to see my other side. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Understood. If I seem edgy, I want you to know that I never mean to take it out on you. Life has its problems, and I get my share. And that's one thing I never mean to do. 'Cause I love you. Oh, 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 baby, don't you know I'm human? Have thoughts like any other one. Sometimes I find myself long regretting some foolish thing, some little sinful thing I've done. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Yes, I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Okay, I'm back. Yeah, that was, well, you know who that was. Who else have been playing all this time? And I've brought one of my little beautiful bells. Remember I was raving about those things with the sort of flowery picture on a black background, pink flowers. And I decided the car needs one, too. So I just dug that out. There you go. That was your bell here once more. Just a little one, not like the big one that's in the road trek. I am in Bluffers Park, and oh my God, summer comes, and this park is full. There were, I would say, 10 to 20 cars waiting to park in the beach lot, like just circling around or strategically waiting for somebody, you know, that looked like they might be leaving soon. And then people walking in and walking out. And it's a long walk, believe me, once you get down here. And then, Jesus, the Cat's Hide, my favorite spot, because it's you can park right on the lake. $15 parking because it's owned by the restaurant that's out there. And every summer they put that up. In the winter, it's nobody cares. It's down. And this is the first time I've seen the sign go up. And they pay somebody to sit there and collect money. And if you go to the restaurant and dine there, you're refunded. You'd have to get more than a Coke, I'm sure. But, Jesus, so that's blocked off. That's gone for the summer because of whatever deal they got. And it shouldn't be. It's city land. It's part of the park. But somehow they got a sweetheart deal in there, and you cannot get into that parking lot during the daytime anymore. Jesus, that really pisses me off. Always has. I mean, every year I go through this rant. But anyway, I'm in the boat launch area. There is still some parking here. And I've got a lovely view, and I'm staying in the car because there's a nice breeze, and rather than haul out the chair, which I could, you know, it would be probably a better thing to do, but I just don't feel like it. I want to sit here with my books, my books. Now, earlier on this podcast, maybe even on the last one, I talked about that I had heard rumors Foundation is going to come back as a series, and so dug out, and luckily enough, I had the first one in the series, Isaac Asimov Foundation, an old Avon pocketbook for 95 cents. And I said, aha, okay, now I'm going to have to hunt down the others. There's seven in this Foundation series. I'm going to have to hunt down the rest. And I mentioned three bookshops, so today, after seeing the doctor, and I'll get back to that if I remember, I went to my least favorite of the local bookshops, and that's just, it's in a shopping mall where Shoppers Drug Mart and the Royal Bank are, McCowan Road, McCowan and Lawrence. A little one, they're excellent. They specialize in comics. So if you're looking for comics and manga and series, that's the place to go. They got a basement full and they know what they're doing there. But the upstairs is just like Harlequin Romance and books, and it's, you know, the cost of the book is half the listed price on the book. So you can sometimes pay ridiculous prices for later issues of books. You know, that's a bad way to do the business. And I think they buy a lot of crap and whatever. But anyway, they didn't have anything by Asimov. So I figured, well, you know, I was having my little nap with Yuki, and I thought, you know what, it's 2:30. Rather than sleep for another half hour, why don't I get in the car and drive down to Cliffside Books? That would be right on Kingston Road. Here we are. Cliffside Village Books, 2404 Kingston Road. And it's a favorite. It's a tiny little book. I brought my son in there, and he got a lot of books back when he was reading, when he had time on his job. Now that he has no job and lots of time, of course, he's not reading. But very a lovely woman who runs the place. And I just like the vibe when I go in there. You park at the Bulk Barn. You can't miss it. Park at the Bulk Barn. It's just around the corner. So in I go, and I look up on the shelf, and I'm chatting with another gentleman who's just passing the time of day, and it's just pleasant. Used bookshops, boys and girls. That's what I'm talking about. If you don't know that, that's okay. You might be younger and it's not a thing, but for old-timers like me, even my early Toronto days, this is how you'd spend a Saturday afternoon. You'd visit the used bookshops. And, of course, I have the library to prove it. So that's where I found number one in the Aizmov series. So I said, where's the sci-fi section? Of course, I was standing right in front of it. I look, and there is nothing by Isaac Asimov. And so I asked, and she said, well, we might have some in the basement. Anything particularly looking for? And I said, I have everything except number one in the... I need everything except number one in the Foundation series. She goes downstairs. She comes right back up in a couple of minutes. She says, well, I got two, three, and four. And I'm thrilled. And the grand total was $9.50 for three books. Now, you might argue, well, it's free in the library. Yeah, if your library has them, except there are six-week waiting lists for the library. And that's not fun for me anyway. For the $9.50, the thrill I got my money's worth. Like, the thrill. Wow! I did it. They're old. These two are Avon printings. Now, the list on the cover of Second Foundation is $1.95. They're ratty, too. You know, the covers are tattered, and that's fine. The cover of price of the Foundation and Empire, in fact, I think that's the second one, is 60 cents. Wow. And then finally, the fourth one, yeah, Foundation, Foundation and Empire, Second Foundation, Foundation's Edge, that's the one I'm holding here, that is a Ballantine, issue for $5.50 on the cover price. So there you go, book four of the classic Foundation series. But what, you know, wow! To go on a whim, you know, getting up from a nap. I just got a feeling I got to go check this out. And there you have it, the next three. So now I'm set. I'm going to read them all, and I'm really enjoying them. I mean, Asimov, what a great writer. And it's just a good time to enter into a world of science fiction, which I haven't visited for decades. And it's really nice to be back. So there you go. Happy, happy day. Simple pleasures. Happy boy. Last night I watched a movie. Well, let's do the doctor first, get it out of the way. I went hoping he could drain my leg because it's swollen, and he said, I'm not going to touch that. I don't know, you know, there's just, it's just too risky. And especially knowing he knew that I'm going to be seeing the knee specialist in 2 weeks, and he said, I'd just rather leave it. But meanwhile, he sent me down for new blood tests and urine tests, and including, you know, infections. And so I got that done too. So today I saw the doctor, checked the knee, got blood tests, had them done in a very short time. And then what else? Oh, went to the pharmacy, got all my medications, which I had ordered online. Checked out that bookshop. It was in the same place and they didn't have any, which led me to the second one. And what was the other thing I did that felt so productive? Oh, yes, got my doctor to write me a requisition for doing physiotherapy. So when places are open again and offering courses and classes and instruction, I will be going back. But I won't do that until I see my my knee specialist and find out what's going on here. So there we go. Now, that was leading me to the other topic, which I digressed. I said the other thing made me, oh, yeah, last night, my son came in. He had been out all night with his, well, he was just out on his own business. And came in and said, oh, I watched a great movie last night. It was called The Platform, also known as The Hole, a Spanish film on Netflix. And I thought, well, you know, just for a change, why don't I watch something that my son is recommending? It's my younger son at home. And oh, my God. I'm going to recommend it, but boy, be prepared. Like, if you don't like gore, if you don't like scenes of raw cannibalism, yeah, maybe give this one a pass. but it was an essential part of the story. Oh, my God, what the concept. And my mind was just, I mean, I was going, holy Christ. Not at just what I was seeing, but the thoughts that were expressed. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to read a little bit from the Wikipedia notes, because honestly, it just, like, my jaw dropped. I thought, oh my God, this is what it's all about. All these things going around on social media, the Black Lives Matter and the, you know, if you know you're not saying anything, you're part of the problem, and you're not owning up to your white privilege, and all these other messages, very often sent to you in bold all caps, in case you miss something, which I really, really find not just annoying but insulting. You don't need, I can read, for Christ's sake, you don't need to put it in all caps. But anyway, that aside, I do get sidetracked when that comes up. It's still an emotional issue with me, and we're not done with that yet. But this movie, okay, here's the point. Here is a film which drove home so many things other amateurs are trying to, you know, put out there loud and clear, and this just made me think of the human condition, for one. What happened? You're in this prison, but the prison is like one tall building, and you don't know how many floors, but certainly probably over 200. And an elevator starts at the top with nothing but gourmet food. It's just a platform, and it's full to overflowing with food and wine and the riches that, you know, only wealthy kings could dream of. And it goes down. It's just there for a short time. You're not allowed to take anything off. I mean, you're allowed to eat whatever you can, whatever you want, for the limited time it's there. But you can't hoard any food. You can't take something. If you take something off to save for later, you will either suffer from extreme heat or extreme cold, and you'll throw that thing down the hole because you can't hoard food. It's just take what you can eat now in this limited time, and then it goes down. And, of course, if you're on one of the bottom floors, there may not be food left at all. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It's just you and one other person on that floor sharing it. And you wake up, you spend 30 days on each level, and you wake up and you don't know what level you're going to be put at. Are you going to be at a higher level, closer to the good food? Or are you going to be at a lower level where you have less? And you can see the people above and below, or you can, if they bother to look down the hole, you can shout out at them. You can try and make deals with them. Anyway, without giving too much away, absolutely amazing. And it just, like, bam, one of the earliest scenes. This is capitalism. This is where we are. You've got the white privileged on top with all the food. You've got people below who are going to have problems, who are going to have anger issues, who are going to have some resentment, who are going to want to fight against the injustice of this system. Like, it just resonated. It hit me. So it was chilling. It chilled me because I thought, this is the reality. And, you know, you don't always get those flashes. You can sort of live in the, like, in my little happy world of how delighted I am that I have four Isaac Asimov books, the first four in the Foundation series. Like, that's my reality now. That's the level I can afford to live on, because when I go home, there's a fridge full of food and beer and wine. But I know that's not the case for everyone in this country, even, never mind the rest of the world. And this film brought that home. Like, with a kick in the fucking teeth. It really did. I'll just read something out. The film, The Platform's key message is that humanity will have to move towards the fair distribution of wealth, with an exploration of the importance of individual initiative in driving political change that critiques both capitalism and both capitalism and socialist systems. Because they tackled both. There is a search for truth. It's recommended the way, what's that Korean film that was so brutal that everybody, you know, the family who lied their way into another family's rich home. I can't remember the virus or the disease or the something, you know what I'm talking about. It just did that. So I posted a few tweets, but now I'm telling you about it. So look for The Platform on Netflix, or under its Spanish name, The Hole, and another translation of that. Okay, so I think now that we're here, and I'm trying to keep these clips a little bit shorter, was there any other pieces that I left out that I needed to share with you? I got to get home. I have not done the deck still yet. My wife is home today. She will be noticing, of course. She really wants me to get that done. But given that my doctor couldn't drain, I was hoping I'd come home, the fluid would be drained off my knee, I'm feeling my oats and ready to go. But just bending is difficult. So might be putting that off just a little while longer. So from Bluffers Park, the boat loading zone side, with a beautiful view, Scarborough Dude signing off.
Well, there's two eggs up on the whiskey toast, home fries on the side. Wash it down with the roadhouse coffee, burns up your insides. You're just a Canyon caller at a diner, and a waitress I did love. I sat in the back neath an old stuffed bear and a worn-out Navajo rug. Now old Jack, the boss, he left at six, then it's Katie, bar the door. She'd pull down that Navajo rug and she'd spread it across the floor. Hey, I saw lightning cross the sacred mountain, saw the woven turtle doves. But I was lying next to Katie on that old Navajo rug. Aye, 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 Katie, shades of red and blue. Aye, 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 Katie, whatever became of the Navajo rug. Shades of red and blue. Well, I saw old Jack about a year ago. He said the place burned to the ground. And all I say with this old bare tooth, Katie, she's left town. Ah, but Katie, she got her souvenir too. Jack's bad a tobacco plug. Well, you should have seen her coming through the smoke, a dragging that Navajo rug.
Aye, aye, aye. Shades of red and blue, aye, 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 Katie, whatever became of the Navajo rug and you?
So every time I cross the sacred mountains and lightning breaks above, it always takes me back in time to my long-lost Katie love. But everything keeps on a-moving, everybody's on the go. Hey, you don't find things that last anymore like an old Navajo.
Aye, 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 Katie, shades of red and blue. Aye, 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 Katie, whatever became of the Navajo rug and you? Katie, shades of red and blue. Aye, 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 Katie, whatever became.
Check, check, check. I got a frayed wire on my Apple earbuds, and it looks like, they won't be working for much longer, that's all. I got a neighbor. We all have those neighbors. Here it is, Canada Day. Happy Canada Day, by the way. I don't know when you'll be hearing this. It's already too late if you live in Asia. This guy, like, he's not mowing the lawn. He's just got out a leaf blower. Big fucking electric thing. And he's blowing leaves. Now he's blowing them down the road. He has nothing better to do. And the odd thing about it, in the very same house, the neighbor who lived before him a few years ago was the same. Fanatical about the front lawn. And maybe that's what attracted this guy to buying this house. Like, oh, this is well kept. That's what I want. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, the noise is annoying. I think leaf blowers should have been banned long ago, just like Sea-Doos. But you wonder, well, what else? I guess this is what gives them pleasure. I understand gardening and people tending their vegetables and flowers. Oh, yeah, that makes so much sense. But this fanaticism for trimming the lawn to make it look perfect and just revving up. Here, I'll put it on a high. It's like he has to blow every leaf off his lawn and onto the street, and now he's chasing them on the street. He's literally chasing the leaves. Like, where are they going to go, buddy? Where are they going to go? That thing doesn't disintegrate the leaves. That just blows them over onto your neighbor's lawn or somewhere else. It's absolutely ludicrous. But anyway, well, I've already given him too much time of my precious podcasting time because I've only got not long left. And then I told myself, hey, it's Canada Day, buddy. If you want to go a little long on this one, you're welcome to. So I'm still thinking about that movie, The Platform, that I was describing earlier from Bluffers Park. And now that I'm reading science fiction, the Foundation series, and science fiction is always political, and it always shows kind of a dark version of what, you know, could and most likely will come. And there's a real sense of, well, need for change, number one, because of the inequality in the world and the haves and the have-nots and the millions who are in refugee camps under horrific conditions or just plain prisoners in their own country. And the rest of us so isolated from that in our little bubble lives of safety and security that something's got to give. Like, there will be an uprising. It's like you think of it in terms of a country in the French Revolution, you know, let them eat cake and then suddenly off with their heads. You can imagine that on a worldwide scale. And blood will flow and it will be ugly. And I feel so bad for the children now and maybe their children in what's to come, unless this ship gets put on course in a good way. And there's the potential for that. There are people who are thinking, who are caring, who are feeling, who are wanting change. They exist now in large numbers to make it a better world. Like people my age, well, hey, it's just, you know, we're just watching what we can from the sidelines. And I know some people say, no, you could do more. And yeah, that's true. But I'm not going to get into that argument right now. Thank you. Here's a man from Bell. Oh, he's gone to the wrong house. Hello. What's up?
May I accept your barrier? I'm working for your labor, 104.
Oh, okay.
I have a bring the bell line.
Yeah, yeah.
Close your backyard.
Okay, sure. Yeah, no problem. All you need. Can you get through okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Just to get there. Yeah,
okay.
Sure. All day. Thank you. Yeah, there we go. you get live reporting here on the Dixon Chains podcast. So where were we? Yeah, the world to come. And you can see the rise of dictatorships like Putin, maybe in for life. And so many people would say, yeah, it's good. We need somebody at the helm who's strong, regardless of what their values or their self-enriching or, you know, if you're an enemy, what's going to happen to you? Or a perceived enemy. And then the horror that is Trump as a president of this country, the United States. I just read a very long Atlantic article about the handling or mishandling or non-handling of the coronavirus and all the things. And they compared it to an airplane going down and sort of saying a best case scenario with a pilot at the last minute when things are hopeless. What's his name? Who landed it? In the Hudson River safely and saved all those lives because he was the right guy at the helm at that time. And then you hear about Pakistani Airlines who've had to fire about 150 pilots because they had somebody else take the test for them. But it did a very detailed analysis of what could have been done in comparison to examining an accident when there's an air crash and how they go through every single piece of evidence to track down where, you know, the breakdown occurred. And in this article, of course, it all came back pointing at the non-leadership of Donald Trump. But enough of that. Yeah, I don't know. Canada Day is supposed to celebrate and cheer and wave flags. I don't do that. I don't like our flag. I don't care for our national anthem. I do feel like a proud Canadian, and there's another word people can question. How can you be proud? What did you do? Well, hey, what didn't I do? I don't know. We're not going there either. These are things that are like little, I don't know, infections that just keep popping up, like little pimples that saying, hey, I'm watching you, buddy. And there's going to be a breakout over here and over here, and we're going to watch everything you say from this point on. And, ooh, I don't like that. Oh, what's to celebrate? There is so much to be grateful for those of us who are living in this safe hub. And there's a lot of us in Canada. I mean, I think we've done a good job. I thought this when I lived in Japan, that Canada is a shining light. And yes, 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 I hear you. All the bad things done, all the mistreatment of Indigenous people, the wiping out, the easy enough to find the faults. But moving forward to where we are now and the progress we have made, certainly in my lifetime, there seems incredible progress to better, I would say, more justice, more compassion, maybe more understanding. Some of you will argue that, and I'm not here to argue. I'm just here to give you my perspective, that it is a better country. And I would tell that to my new Canadian students, that the Canada you're in now is a much better Canada than the one you would have entered had you come 50 years ago. And, you know, I think that holds true. But sure, there's more we can do. But comparatively speaking to other countries in the world, Japan, which, you know, I've said before is, you'd have to say was racist. And so many other countries are, and the countries that just live on corruption, so many of the countries in Africa, and actually all over the world, where you just, you know, if you know somebody, if you have money, you'll get away with what you can, and you'll be better off than the poor. So, yeah, lots to be done yet, okay? But I like to see there is some hope, there is a starting point, or that we're already on the road to better. Okay, enough fucking speeches. Jesus Christ. Nobody paid for that. Nobody wanted that. What else we got to share? I don't know. I repeat myself often just to, maybe for emphasis, the things I like. I guess I could go back in time and, I don't know. One of the things that occurred to me today was like the complexity of this thing we call personality, ourselves, who am I? And of course, psychology made a pretty feeble attempt at even identifying what is personality, and a lot of people even deny the whole thing exists. But I guess what I'm thinking back to our very early primitive 100,000, you know, maybe 500,000 years ago, as we emerged as humans. There would have been types. There would have been those who would assume a leadership role, who would be stronger. There would have been those who lived in fear and anxiety. There would have been those who thrived on cruelty. Absolutely. These are like, I guess I'm looking at traits and characteristics. Those who would have been kind and gentle and compassionate. All these things would have been there, and they would have surfaced. I mean, we're talking pre-language even here, but somehow the one who would care for the guy who got a spear through his foot or something and would maybe help him get back to the cave. And the one who would laugh and jeer at him for being stupid and, you know, maybe hurt him more, start poking the spear into his side. And eventually these things just keep evolving into more and more complexities and combinations, and you end up with where we are today, where you can have serial killers that nobody can identify because they can pass themselves off as a normal human being, but there's a dark, dark, dark inside that drives them to do certain things. And you can have people who are, well, the Donald Trumps, who just only think about themselves and are broken people. He's abnormal. It's just clearly these are things. And, of course, that assumes there are definitions of what's normal. And that's another probably debatable point. But the complexities, and then I take it right back home to myself. Why am I doing these weekly podcasts? Are they give me satisfaction. There's something I have to do. I have to share. And what is that? Is that a problem? Because I'm not able to cope without doing this. Am I actually trying to achieve something? Is there a purpose to this? In other words, and I like to think there is. I mean, I like to believe that I'm sharing my inner thoughts to encourage others to do the same. And maybe that's not a good thing. But I think what I'm pointing out is that thing about knowing yourself, knowing who you are. And that can show up in terms of your national identity. I'm a proud American and I carry guns and I believe, you know, in white supremacy or whatever. Or I'm a teacher or I'm, you know, a helper, or I'm just a person who likes to get drunk Friday night. There's all these ways of identifying ourselves, but we do put up a lot of layers, and we do, in the end, we are kind of alone, and we are fragile. That's the word I keep using and wanting to reclaim on this podcast. And I'm liking to think that by sharing, trying to share what's inside of us, that it creates a recognition. Oh yeah, me too. Or oh yeah, I just think it's there are so many people you come across who seem to have no self-awareness whatsoever. It's either just complete vanity in the clothes they wear or their hairstyle, or a mean-spiritedness to put others down to make yourself feel better, and not being aware of what they're doing. Not knowing where it came from, that their mother all put them down when they were a child, and they haven't quite put the pieces together to realize, oh my God, that's why I'm so mean to my friends, because I'm so hurt inside. I have so much pain. Well, maybe that's a point to end on. And I don't know. I don't have any great revelations about myself right now. But I do say that I'm still confused. I have these ridiculous ups and downs of seemingly to have a big problem loving myself, and I say that's really important. And I know that's probably ironic to some, because it might seem that's all I'm doing. This whole podcast is about me loving myself. I don't see it that way, but you know, how well do we see ourselves? Maybe that's the question. And how much can we rely on friends to see us, to point out maybe our problems? And what is the nature of friendship? Like, how deep can friendship go? Like, how much can one friend influence another and change them? Interesting enough, that's a little theme that actually comes up quite often on the Midnight Diner show that I talk about on Netflix, of the relationship between people and their friendships and their influences, or the things they ate when they were young, because they were poor or whatever. It is very interesting. So again, I encourage you for two things: the Midnight Diner on Netflix, and the Platform if you're really in for a beating. But definitely, Clara warning all around. Do not show that to your children. Not yet. Scarborough Dude on this Canada Day. Feeling kind of laid back, sitting here with the windows open, a bit of a breeze coming through, and I don't think today will be a deck-staining day. It's a bit too hot for that. Take care, one and all, and wishing you the best. Wishing you to shine a light on yourselves, and love yourself a little bit for the things you do that are kind and helpful, and maybe shine that torch a little into the things where you're mean-spirited. If any of you are out there, you're probably none of you, you're probably all perfect. Scabber Dude signing out.